Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. He's good all the time, right? He's good all the time. You're never going to wake up and God not be good or God not be in a good mood or anything like that. God never changes, amen? Every day that you wake up, God is for you, not against you. Every day that you wake up, God loves you more than you could possibly imagine. Every day, God is good, amen? Every day, because God never, ever changes. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful about that. Because we live in a world where it seems like everything is changing, but I am so grateful that I can just hold on to the rock of Jesus because he doesn't change. I can always count on him to forgive me. I can always count on him to empower me. I can always count on him to lead me, to guide me. I can always count on him to be good for me and good to me. Amen? I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. Makes me happy. Well, today, I hope this is, well, I don't know what kind of news it will be, but today's the last day that we're going to talk about from this day forward. It's our last message on our relationship series that we've been doing. I know last week we hit you guys pretty hard and heavy, but it was good, right? Look at your neighbor and say, it was good. It was good. Sometimes we need those messages that are just like, they just kind of jerk the slack out of you a little bit, but that's good for us, amen? That's good for us. And so today is the last one in this series that we're doing. We'll start a new series next week that, believe it or not, is going to lead us into Easter. Somebody say, how is that possible? How is that possible that it is already March, that February is over? It seems like it flew by. You know, I think I say that all the time. And, you know, I read this article one time and it said, if time feels like it goes by really fast, it's because you're older. That's what it said. It's because you're older, because the older you are, the less new experiences you have, it said. And so it makes it feel like time goes by faster. I don't really know if that's true, but it sure, because it seems like this year is flying by, so I must be getting really old. I don't know. But anyway, it's already March. Easter is coming, and we've got some awesome things in store and in mind for Easter, and so looking forward to that. But today, we're going to finish up our series on From This Day Forward. And this is based on a book called From This Day Forward. And it's a book on marriage. It's a book on relationships because we need help in this area. You know why? Because marriage is tough. All the married people are like, mm-hmm, it is. It is. And all the newlyweds are like, really? Just wait. Just wait. Marriage is tough. Any relationship is hard, whether it's family relationships with your in-laws or your children or aunts and, you know, all kind of relationships. Work relationships are hard. Everything is, when you got people involved, it just seems to get complicated. How many know that's true? And so we can look to the Word and get help for the relationships that we are in. And so it's called From This Day Forward because, you know what, every relationship, for it to survive time, for it to survive and carry on through time, it needs to have those moments where you say, from this day forward, we're going to move past this. From this day forward, I'm going to give you a fresh start. From this day forward, we're going to have values in our relationship. Every relationship needs a moment where you say, you know what, the past is the past. It, you know, something happened, things are difficult, we had an argument, an explosion, maybe things were said. That happens in every relationship. And so for them to continue and to be healthy and to get better, say get better. Amen. To get better, then we have to have a from this day forward moment. Amen? And sometimes, you know, I see some people looking at me like, really? You don't know. No, I don't know, but I know who does know. God knows. Amen? God knows, and he instructs us to be forgiving and merciful. And let me just say this from the get-go. I always like to point this out and just kind of give, like, not a disclaimer, but just a, hey, you know, let's be, last week was be smart. one area, when we're talking about never giving up in relationships and giving up from this day forward moment, we're not talking about if you're the punching bag at home. We're not talking about that. There's no place for abuse, physical, mental, no place for abuse in a relationship. And our counsel to you, if that is you, is to for separation. For separation, and hopefully God can give counsel and give get help in those areas, and maybe you'd be able to get back together. But God doesn't want you getting beat up at home. And you know, you got to say that in church, and you got to say that outside of church, because unfortunately bad things happen, right? And so I just encourage you, if that's you and you hear this message and you're thinking, oh, I got to stick it out and I got to take whatever the person dishes out. No, that's not true. God doesn't want that for you. There are reasons that sometimes marriages end. And sometimes there are reasons that God would even say, hey, that's okay. That's okay. It was never his plan, but God knows that there are imperfect people that come together. And God would never want you to be abused like that in your home. Amen? That's not God's heart. God loves you. God's your father. What father would want their child to be getting knocked around at home? Not a good one. And we know God's a good, good father. Amen? And so I just wanted to say that, feel led to say that. And so if that's you, you know, that's what we're here for, your church family. We're here to help you. Don't let shame keep you in a bad spot. Don't let not wanting anybody to know keep you in a bad spot. Church family is to help you get out of those spots. Amen? And we'll do all we can to help you, you and your family. Amen? And so I don't know if that's for somebody here. Maybe you know somebody you need to give that counsel to, but that's never God. That's never God. And whenever people are like, oh, you know, I got to stay in this because it's God's will. No, that's not true. That's not true. And if you want to write me a letter, go ahead. I probably won't read it, but go ahead. All right, let's get to this. So today, and the reason I say that is because today's title is Never Give Up. Never give up. Because in every relationship, and honest married people in here that have been married more than a day, you will say that there, if you're honest, there have been times in your relationship where you may have wanted to be like, not today. Not today, you know? And there have been those times. And you know what? That's, if it hasn't happened, it's gonna happen. And so you've gotta have values in your relationship, especially in your marriage. You need values. And so we've given these last few weeks just five values that really are so important. And number one is seek God. You know, we can't do this on our own. And if you doubt that, just look at your spouse. You can't be married to them on your own. Amen? You need God's help, right? I can say that because Scott's over in the class that's going on. I need God's help. I mean, look at him. I need God's help to be married to him. And you can say the same thing about me. He needs God's help for real to be married to me. Amen? And so number one is seek God. And number two is fight, that we talked about a few weeks ago. If you weren't here, you can listen online, is fight fair. You know what? There's always going to be conflict in relationships because you got two people. And how many know that usually you're married? They say that 90% of people are married to their opposite. Because opposites attract in the beginning, but then they attack. Isn't that the truth? It's the truth. I mean, let's just play along. Let's just have some fun here. How many of you, you're the on-time person, man? You are never late, no matter what. You're never late, right? You're the net. But how many, you know, I noticed some married people, your spouse didn't raise their hand. How many are just the planner in the family? Everything's got to have a plan. I got to have a plan. You know, the destination is where it's all about. But then you got the journey people that are kind of like, oh, we're on a journey. You know, that's like in shopping, you know. I used to hate to shop with my mom because I'm like, all right, let's go get what we need. And my mom would be like, let's look at everything. Let's look at everything, you know. And so, I mean, how many savers do we have in here? You're a saver. You like to save money. How many spenders do we have? Some of you are just like, I'm not raising my hand. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. But, you know, it's true. We're attracted to people who are different from us, and that's normal. And like they say, 90% of people are attracted. They're married to their opposite. But when you're married to your opposite, when a saver is married to a spender, you're going to have conflict. When a journey person, the person's like, oh, it's all about the journey, is married to a let's get there destination person, you're going to have a little bit of conflict, right? When that on time person, just, you know, just rigid about being on time, is married to that free spirit, oh, you know, we'll just get there, you're going to have some conflict. And so you need to learn how to deal with conflict, because it's one of the most important skills that we can have as people, because there is a lot of conflict in the world we live in. And if you don't learn how to deal with it, you'll bury it. And if you bury it, here's the thing about conflict. When it's buried over a course of time, especially in marriage, one day it explodes. It just explodes. And there's mess everywhere. And then one person is like, what's wrong? I didn't know anything was wrong. And the other person is like, something's been wrong for 20 years. But they never talked about it. So you got to learn how to fight fair. There's going to be times where you're going to fight, but you got to do it fairly. Amen? And there's a way to do it. And then the next thing we talked about is having fun. You got to have some fun in relationships, and that's fun out, you know, in the house. Amen? How many had your fireplace burning? Don't raise your hand. You had your fireplace burning this last week in the right place. You put your fireplace in the right, God loves passion. God gave us passion. He wants you to have fun physically. Somebody say, is this church? Yeah, this is church. God wants you to have fun physically. He wants that fire to burn. But you know what? If you put a fire anywhere but in a fireplace, it's going to destroy everything that's around it. So we need that fire in the right place. And so have some fun. The next thing we talked about is be smart. Listen, we're all one step away from stupid, right? That's just the truth. We're all one decision away from just stupid, where people are going to look at us and be like, what in the world, right? What in the world? What were they thinking? Well, we weren't. We just weren't thinking. And so be smart. You know, put some boundaries up. Have some standards on what you let into your life. Amen? And so be smart. And then today is never give up. We need these values in our relationships. We need values. Because if we don't have values, then anything will come in. And when anything comes into your relationship, it's not going to be healthy and it's not going to last. And so we're talking here, and in Lamentations has been our key scripture, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 and 23. And this is Jeremiah, and he's having a bad day. He's lamenting. He says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. He says, I remember them well. And my soul is downcast within me. Let me just stop right there. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I caught myself doing this. When all you remember is what your spouse has done that let you down, when that's all you remember and that's all you think about, it will make you downcast. And downcast means depressed. Depressed about your marriage. When all you remember is what they haven't done, then it's really going to bring you down. You know, I remember I was having a conversation with somebody, and they were talking about, you know, just some things that were going on in their marriage. And I said, you know, I said, there's a lot of things in all marriages like this. There's a lot of things that, you know, my husband does that annoys me. There's a lot of things. I could write a list. And that's just the truth. And you know what? He's got a list for me too, I'm sure, because I can be very annoying. And so, but the thing is, but I told him this, I said, but I choose not to sit and remember those. I choose instead to think of all the good things that he does. You know, my husband doesn't answer the phone. How many know he doesn't answer the phone? Ben, you can raise your hand. He doesn't answer the phone. He doesn't. He's like, his phone can ring for hours. He'll just be like, you know, I don't know what it is about him. And we could talk about him. He's not here, but he doesn't answer the phone. And it used to just annoy me to no end. And so one day I say to him, I said, what would happen if I was on the side of the road, broken down, and you don't have your phone? What would happen? And you know what he said to me? He said, this is a terrible answer. I was like, he said, if you were on the side of the road, broken down, the Holy Ghost would tell me. And I would answer my phone. So I'm like, oh, so you answer for him, right? You answer for the Holy Ghost, right? And so, you know, but the thing was, it was, it used to annoy me. And then I started thinking, I had to do something. Because you can either choose to just camp on something that annoys you, or you can be like Jeremiah. It says, you know, I remember them well, but I have hope. What happened? The way that he got hope was he changed his focus. He changed his focus. And so one day when I was just, you know, like, oh, man, I'm trying to get a hold of Scott. You know, I can't get a hold of him. He's gotten a lot better, though. I got to be honest with you. And I was just like, oh, man, this is just, you know. And the Lord just said, change your focus. And I was like, you know what? He may not answer the phone, but he does this. And he does this. And he does this. And he does it. And I started just naming all the things that I was just so thankful for. And listen, if you can only name one thing, maybe that's where you're at right now today, then name that one thing. Amen? Listen, if you got a spouse that goes to work every day, be thankful, because everybody's doesn't. Amen? You got a spouse that comes home every day? Be thankful, because everybody's doesn't. Amen? Everybody's doesn't. And so there's usually always something that we can find. And that's what Jeremiah did here in Lamentations. He's like, listen, man, I remember those. I remember those well. But I have hope because he changed his focus. And part of never giving up is you have got to control your focus. Because if you only focus on what somebody's not doing, everything they are doing isn't going to matter to you. And usually, 9 times out of 10, they're doing a whole lot more than what they're not doing. And so when we're talking about never giving up, we've got to make sure that we've got our hope and our focus where it goes. And even in relationships with family members are annoying. You know, everybody's got that one family member that just, you know, they call, you're just like, ugh, you know? And if you don't think you have that family member, you probably are that family member. Amen? Because everybody has that, you know, or maybe it's just my family. We've got 7 kids, so it's a little more the odds, you know. But the thing is that in all relationship, it matters. We live in a time where people have a mentality that relationships are disposable. It's disposable. Well, I'll get a new friend. You know, I would hate to be a young person in today's time. Because think about as a teenager, how, you know, when I was a teenager, just everything was a big deal, right? Everything's a big deal. Somebody didn't say hi to you. Oh, it's a big deal, you know? Imagine how impacting that unfriend button on Facebook is. Imagine that. We're going to just be like, not today. I don't want to be your friend today. We live in that time. And it has seeped over into all relationships. Relationships with older parents. No sense of responsibility or loyalty to people's parents. No sense of loyalty or responsibility even to people's children. We live in that time. But listen, that's how the world is. That is not how we're supposed to be. We're to be loyal. People are going to screw up and people are going to mess up. But that doesn't mean that relationship is disposable. It doesn't mean that. And God has a lot to say about it. And over here in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 3 through 6, and this is the Pharisees had come, and they were setting Jesus up. How many know religious people always try to set you up, don't they? How many of you guys, and you don't have to raise your hand about it, but how many times have you ever told somebody at work or something, or they found out you're a Christian, so immediately they ask you about a hot button topic. Oh, you're a Christian? Well, how do you feel about this? What are they doing? They're trying to set you up. And it's nothing new. They did the same thing with Jesus. They did the same thing with Jesus. And a lot, I always say this, just because a question is asked doesn't mean you have to answer it. Amen? Doesn't mean you have to answer it. Don't take every piece of bait somebody throws out. And so Jesus is here, and the religious people, the Pharisees, they're going to set him up. And so they say this. They say, some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Any and every reason. And he says, haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And so they're setting Jesus up because Jesus is talking about loving everybody. And we've got to know, whenever you read the Bible, you've got to know, you've got to interpret it, and you've got to remember the culture in which they're speaking to. And so in this culture, and this culture still exists in some places, women were considered property. Aren't you glad we're done with that? Amen. Amen. And that was never God's intention. We're not property. We're created by God. Amen. But that's another message. But in this culture, women were treated as property. And so the men actually, in this culture, they would actually carry, and it still happens in some parts of the world, they would carry the marriage license in their pocket. And a little bit of it sticking out to remind their wife that at any moment, they could just be done with them. They carry it in their pocket. Their wife would act up. They'd be like, watch yourself. You know, or, you know, the wife would be doing something like, hey, here. Isn't that sad? And if a man wanted to, he could pull that marriage license out. All he had to do for any and every reason, didn't matter what it was, he could just rip it in half. And at that moment, that woman would lose all that they had together as a married couple and would lose her children. And that's still the case in some parts of the world. Isn't that sad? And so that's who these Pharisees are talking about. They're talking about that. And so they say to Jesus, they say, hey, can a man divorce his wife for any and every reason? And you know, now it's now in all states of the United States, we now have no fault divorce. Every state, no fault divorce. You don't need a reason. You just need to want to. Used to be you had to have a reason. No reason now. Anything. And so Jesus said to them, he says, he replied that at the beginning, the Creator, that's God, made them male and female and said to them, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. One flesh. And so Jesus is reminding them, he's saying, listen, when you get married, and we've got to remember this. When you get married, it's not just a contract, it's a covenant. It's a covenant. And you don't just join together and split the bills and share an apartment and have a couple of kids and live happy, and one day if you're not happy, be done. No, when you're married, you become, the Bible says, no longer two, but one. Not just physically, but spiritually. You become one flesh. And the thing that Jesus is reminding them is that because you are now one flesh, if you want to tear apart what has been put together, it's going to leave a mark. It's kind of like, you know, if you took two pieces of notebook paper and you put Elmer's glue all over it and you stuck it together and you left it like that for about a month and then you went back and tried to pull it apart, how many know there would be a tear? There'd be a tear. There'd be damage. You can't just separate and have no effect and no mark and no tear what was once one. And that's something we need to remember. Marriages are not disposable. Do they end? Unfortunately, yes, they do. Sometimes for reasons they should end. God is the one that instituted divorce. He allowed divorce because of the imperfections and the mistakes of his children. God did that. It was never his plan, never his will, but he allowed it because stuff happens. How many know stuff happens? But let's make sure the stuff that's happened is worth the tear. Amen? And so Jesus tells him, he said, you know, you become one. He says, what God has joined together. That's one thing we got to make sure, man. Don't get married unless you know God is joining you together. Amen? Don't get married unless God is joining you together. Because it's going to be difficult and it's going to be hard, and the enemy's going to do everything he can to tear you apart. Because that's what he does. And that's his agenda. But we've got to remember that marriage is a covenant, not a contract. Contracts is not what a marriage is about. And here's the difference between a marriage and a covenant and a contract. Covenant is based on mutual commitment. Mutual commitment. See, a covenant says, we're going through a hard time and I'm not happy right now, but I'm in covenant with you and I'll stick it out so things can get better. I'm not going to endure it, but I'll go through it as we get better. A lot of times people think to fix, you know, God's only going to help you endure something. No, if you seek God together, he will mold and change you to be the spouse that your spouse needs. It's not about sticking it out because you're in like a life sentence. What a terrible attitude. And really that attitude shows you have no faith in God. No faith. Because when you seek God together, those things that just feel like they're going to tear you apart, God will soften your heart. He will change you. He will help you, and he will change and help your spouse as you become one, stronger and stronger together. But we're in covenant together. It's not about a contract. And here's the difference. Contracts are based on mutual distrust, right? A contract, if I have a contract, its whole thing is to protect me and what belongs to me. If you break this contract, here's what I get. You better do what this contract says, because this contract protects me. When you bought a house and they gave you that big old stack, what was it doing? It was protecting the mortgage company. If you don't pay, we're going to come for you. And we're going to take back what belongs to us. If you don't do it. See, it's protecting them. But that's not what marriage is about. Marriage is covenant, and covenant is in it together. Amen? And so another thing about contracts is that contracts protect rights and shirks responsibility. Do you hear that? But a covenant surrenders rights, and assumes responsibility. See, when you're in a covenant with somebody, you're not like, hey, you get to do this for me. These are my rights. These are my rights. I have a right to be happy. I have a right to be treated well. I have a right to be provided for. These are my rights. And if you don't do them, you're breaking the contract. But see, that puts it all on someone else. But covenant says, you know what? I'm going to give up my rights for you. For you. I'm going to assume responsibility for you, because we're in this together. And when you think about what covenant means, you ever seen in marriage, maybe seen it in movies or something like that, where in old times they would take the people who were getting married, they put their hands together and they would wrap them all up and everything. You ever seen that? Wait, where that originated from is that when people would get into covenant together, the word covenant literally means cut. Means cut. And they would cut their hands. Just a little bit on their hands. And then they would put them together. and wrap it up tight. You know what they were doing? They were blending their blood together because they were saying, we are no longer two, we are one. We're one. That's why when you treat your spouse bad, you're just hurting yourself. When you talk bad about your spouse, you're just hurting yourself. When you don't provide for your spouse, you're just hurting yourself because you're in covenant together. It's not about what you can get. It's about what you can give together. That's covenant. That's covenant. And that's what marriage is. Marriage isn't just a contract. I say that in every marriage that I do, wedding ceremony I do. I say the world thinks that marriage is a legal contract, and it is. It has a contract to it, but there's more to it. It is a covenant between two people. Man, never take it lightly. It's a covenant between two people. Another thing about covenant and contract is covenant has the interest of the other in mind. Has the interest of the other in mind. Think about Jesus. Jesus shed his blood on the cross for you and me. He did that not for himself. He did it for us so that we could be in covenant with him. And here's a really, think about this. He did it. He shed his blood. He made the cut of covenant before he even knew you'd join in. He was thinking only of you, not of himself. How many marriages would be stronger, last longer, if we thought of our spouse long before we thought of ourselves? Wouldn't it be? You're like, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. I don't want fair. I don't want what I deserve. And I don't want fair, so I'm not going to give it. And we'll get to that in a minute, about sowing. And so think about covenant and think about what Jesus did. Jesus surrendered his rights as the Son of God when he came down here on earth. He laid aside his deity for you and for me. And he did it, and he showed an example. And that doesn't mean, you know, sometimes people are so, you know, remember, what was last week's title? Be smart. That doesn't mean that you just lay down and say, whatever you want to do, I surrender my rights to you, my love. That's in movies. Be real. Be real. Some people get so religious and freaky that you just ruin everything for everybody, you know? I mean, it's just like, really? Come on. Come on. God gave you common sense for a reason. Amen? But when we think about our spouse and how things impact them, how things will affect them, when we get in that mindset where, you know what? It's not just about me. It's not just about what I want. It's not just about what I want to do. It's not about just how I feel. I'm in this with somebody else. I'm in covenant with somebody, and it's about them too. Amen? It's about them too. I can't tell you how, and I'm passionate. I am passionate about marriage, and I don't make any excuse about it. You don't like it? This is not the church for you. And it doesn't mean that all marriages are going to work. They don't. Even in this church, all marriages do not work. People that I've married, it hasn't worked. And I mourn for that. It breaks my heart. If I let myself, I could cry right now thinking about it. I'm just so passionate about marriage because I see the enemy's plan. I see him tearing people apart, and then I see the tears and the rips in their life that are left. I see it, and it breaks my heart. And I can't tell you how many people have sat across my desk, couples, and somebody will say this. They'll say, you know, I just don't feel like I'm getting my needs met. You know, I'm just not fulfilled. And those are real feelings, and I don't mean to discount them, and they're usually said through tears. You know, people think tears make everything you say okay, or correct, or accurate. Listen, just because you're crying doesn't mean you're right. Amen? You can cry all day long, you're still wrong as wrong gets. Because my next question is usually this. Are you sowing into the needs of your spouse? Are you meeting their needs? Or are you selfish and only concerned about your own? And I never get the answer that I'm looking for. Not one time. Not one time. I usually get this. Well, I'm not going to do that because they're not doing it for me. I'm not going to do it. And I say to them, that's not how sowing and reaping works. That's not how this works. You sow and you got to wait for harvest a lot of times. But covenant says, you know what? I'm not happy right now. Listen, there have been times in my marriage I have not been happy. And I could have been the one going, I'm not happy. I'm not getting my needs met. Boo-hoo, right? That could have been me. But instead, I know the word. And I say, you know what? And not that I'm perfect. Listen, ask my husband. I am certainly not. But I'll just make a choice. You know what? I'm going to sow into your needs. I'm going to sow out of love, out of covenant. You say, I don't have the strength to do that. Knowing what a covenant is will give you the strength. Amen. It will give you the strength. I will sow out of covenant into you, and I'll wait for my harvest. And a lot of times you got to wait because people go through stuff. Listen, you've been married 23 years. One of you is going to go through some things. You're going to go through hurt in life. You're going to go through where life didn't turn out the way you thought. You're going to go through sickness. You're going to go through illness. You're going to go through depression. You're going to go through anxiety. You're going to go through stuff. And in that time, you can't be like, I'm not getting my needs met. How selfish is that? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say, I'm not getting my needs met by you guys. I think I'm going to move on. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say that? Everybody wants a godly marriage, but you don't want to do the godly part. And the godly part says, you know what? I'm going to sow, and I'm going to sow out of covenant. I'm going to sow out of covenant, not because I like you right now. I'm going to sow because I'm sowing out of covenant right now. Amen? It's different. You want it to last. You want godliness in it. Then you cannot turn away from godliness. You cannot turn away from the instructions that God has. And you can't do that and say, well, it just didn't work out, and not expect a tear. You can't do it. You can't do it. Marriages are not disposable. They're meant to last. And when they don't, it's even if it's for a good reason. You know what I mean by good reason. Even if it's for, you know what? Hey, I understand that. I see that. I support you. I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll help you. Listen, I've gone to people's houses and packed their stuff up for them. I'm not for marriages that are destructive and physically hurtful. And so I'm not for that. I'm not stupid. I've gone and packed people up before. Let's get out of here before they get home. I've done that because it was the right thing to do. But you can't get away from godliness and expect godly in your marriage. And then when it doesn't work, you can't be like, well, it's no big deal. It happens all the time. My kids are resilient. It'll be fine. That's not reality, because you're one. And now it's been torn apart. And so we've got to have that covenant. Covenant has the interest of the other, but a contract has personal convenience in mind. A contract says, it protects me. But when you're in covenant, the beautiful thing about covenant is that I know that I'm in covenant with Scott, and I know that I can let him see the weakest, darkest, least attractive part of me, and he will stay. He will stay. I know that I can be vulnerable. And I can show him, and I can just be like, this is it. I don't have to hide anything from him because we are in covenant. And he has shown me over and over again, over 23 years, I will stay with you through hard times. And I have shown that to him. And so when hard times come, we don't have to hide them from each other. Because we're in fear. If you're in fear in your relationship, you got a contract. You got a contract. Covenant says, we're in this together and we're one. No matter how low you go, I'll lift you. I'll lift you. Bible says when they're weak, we're strong. When we're strong, they might be weak. That's marriage. That's the way it's supposed to be. But how do we get there? You know, I never like to do a message without saying this is how we get there. Over in Malachi chapter 2, verse number 16, he says this is Old Testament. He said, so be on your guard. Number one thing about marriage, be on your guard. And know that everything around you, not to be paranoid, but there's a whole lot going on around you that's trying to tear it apart. He says, so be on your guard. Do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. And it says, a man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect. Talking about that tear. The Lord Almighty, so be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. There's a lot of ways to be unfaithful, people. There's a lot of ways. There's a lot of ways to be unfaithful. It's not just talking about sex. That's part of it. But there's a whole lot of other ways that we can be unfaithful to our covenant. And listen, if you're single in here today, get an idea and a view of what marriage really is. Get an idea and a view and let it sink into your heart that it's not a contract, it's a covenant. And when you stand before a podium like this or wherever you stood and you said, till death do us part, you mean it. You mean it. Because there's going to be a lot of times where you're going to want to be apart. Billy Graham, you know, amazing man of God, just recently passed away. And years ago, they asked his wife, Ruth, they said, you know, do you ever get mad? You know, Billy Graham, he's kind of perfect, right? They said, do you ever get mad at Billy? And she said, oh, yeah, all the time, all the time. And they said, do you ever think about divorcing him? And she said, never, never. She said, murdering him, yes. Divorcing him, no. So even with Billy Graham had marriage stuff going on. Come on, don't be surprised when you have it. But if you're single in here today, get an idea. It's covenant, it's not contract. And if you're married in here today, you might need to look at your spouse and say, hey, we're covenant. We're covenant. I'm here for you. You're here for me. We got to work on these five values. We got to work on these. And if you're in here today and you're single again, you're single again. Know that God loves you. God forgives anything that happened. He forgives, and God's got a fresh start for you. Amen. God's not interested in your past. God's interested in your now. And so don't walk out here like, oh, I'm terrible. I'm terrible. I got divorced. Listen, divorce happens. Sometimes it needs to happen, and sometimes it happened just because somebody got contract-minded and not covenant-minded. And let me tell you this, sometimes, and you know what, it happens a little more and more, sometimes it happens because one spouse just doesn't want to fight. They don't want to fight for it. They're done. They're done. They don't want to do it. And it's really sad when the other spouse does and has. It's really sad. And you can't judge that person. You can't blame that person. If they've done all they can do, you know, I always tell people this, and I'm getting a little personal here, but I always tell people this whenever they come to me for marriage counseling and it looks like, you know, maybe it's not going to work out. I always say this. I say, listen, you need to be able to stand before God himself, because you will one day. You need to be able to stand before God himself and say, I have done all that I can do. I have been humble. I have been teachable. And I have done everything I can do for my spouse and for my marriage. And if after that, it still isn't going to work, then you've done all that you can do. It takes two. It takes two to tango, and it takes two to work it out. And sometimes there's one who just doesn't want to. And you know what? If that happens, what are you going to do? But as for you, you have to be able to say, I did everything I could. I did everything I could. And so no matter where you are on the relationship scale, know that God is for you. And God wants to. If you're in a marriage, he wants to heal it. He wants to heal it. He wants to heal it. He wants to mend those hurts. He wants to just pour into you and heal you up. and your spouse. Let me tell you a little secret. There's no such thing as one person being miserable in a relationship. If you're miserable, so is your spouse. A lot of times people are like, oh, I'm the best thing that ever happened. You know, I'm the best spouse that ever walked the face of the earth. You know, what would you have to be miserable about? I'm the one that's miserable. No, they're miserable too, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Don't think it's, you know, all somebody else. And so just a few things. I know this is a heavy one, and I promise our Easter message would be a little more uplifting. But, you know, I'm just tired of the devil having his way in marriages, you know? Because it's worth it. It's worth the fight. It's worth laying yourself aside and saying, you know what, I'm not super happy right now because maybe my spouse is going through something, but I'm in covenant and I'm going to see you through. Not that I'm going to, you know, not have happiness. God can do that for you. I'm going to move forward so God can work it out and make us stronger together. I'll tell you, if Scott and I had given up every time we wanted to, we wouldn't have lasted 6 months. We wouldn't have lasted 6 months. But we always said we're in covenant together. God's gonna work it. If we seek God, he'll bend and mold us together. And he always has. We are about as opposite can get. Scott loves things that are loud. I hate loud. I don't like anything loud. I'm always the one, turn it down, you know? And Scott is, turn it up. I mean, we're just so opposite. But it's just, it's miraculous how God has just taken two very opposite, damaged individuals and just made us one. It's amazing. Sometimes I look and I think, it is amazing that we actually like each other. It is amazing that we actually, I mean, we don't just live together, we work together. Lord, help us, right? You know, I mean, it's just amazing. It amazes me. But you know what it is? It's being covenant-minded. And doing these, and believe me, we've had some knockdown dragouts. My head has spun around many times. We've had miscommunicate. We've had all that just like you have. But covenant pushes you through. And so here's just three things, just quick for us. Over here in Malachi, he says, you do violence to the one you should protect. Listen, we're not talking about physical violence. We're talking about not honoring what God has given you. You know, there was a time when pineapples were literally priceless. They were priceless. Only royalty, you know, a pineapple. Only royalty had a pineapple. Only royalty. And when you would go, they would put it under a glass thing, and people would come from all over to look at the pineapple. True story. You can Google it. But now, you can go to Publix, and everybody can buy a pineapple. Right? Same pineapple. Sometimes that's how we get with marriage. In the beginning, we're like, oh, baby, you are priceless. There is nobody like you. I love all your differences. I love your quirkiness. It makes you you, right? I mean, that pineapple is just priceless. But over time, same person, if you're not careful, you'll think they're like everybody else, and you can just walk into Publix and get another one. That is not the case. This is part of you. Amen? Your spouse is part of you. You're one together. And so here's some things we got to do. You got to make a choice to love. And I said choice. Love is a decision. I teach that all the time. Love is a decision. It is not a feeling. It produces feelings, but love in itself is a decision, because we don't feel like loving people, but we still do. Why? Because we choose to. The Bible says in Colossians 3:14, it says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. When you put on, just like I put this jacket on today, it was my choice. I've got lots of jackets, but I chose to put this one on. That's how we put on love. We've got lots of feelings, lots of emotions, but we got to reach in the closet and grab that love and put it on. And when we do, it binds everything else together. When you choose to love your spouse, all the other things come together. You got to choose to love them because they're not always lovable. Your parents are not always lovable. Your children are not always lovable. It's amazing to me the capacity that people have to love certain things and to just put up with so much in so many areas. But when it comes to their spouse, oh no, oh no. When they're part of you, you're one together. So we got to make the choice to choose to love. I choose to love you. Wouldn't that be a great choice every morning? Look at your spouse, say, I choose to love you. No matter what happens today, my choice is love. No matter what. Second thing, we got to prioritize our relationship. Got to prioritize it. It's important. But if everything else comes before it, it's not going to last. The Bible tells us over in Galatians 6, 7, and 9, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Listen, there's some of you in here today, and you're here, and your spouse is not here with you. Don't give up. Don't, this never works. Love always works. Keep sowing into them, sowing into them. I will never forget when I was real young in ministry, one of the first times a married person came to me and these two people, and I told him, I said, listen, you know, it was the woman, and I said, you know, I'll just give you a challenge. You know, just sow into your spouse. What fills his love tank? You know, one of the best books I think written on relationships is The 5 Basic Love Languages. Many times people are trying to love someone, but you're speaking a wrong love language. That's how it was with Scott and I. My love language is service acts. If you want to love me, do something for me. That's how I feel love, is service acts, right? But that's also the love that I speak. Well, most men, their love language is not service acts. Their love language is words of affirmation and physical touch. And so here I'm doing everything for Scott, and he's not happy, not feeling fulfilled, doesn't feel like I love him. And he's telling me how wonderful I am and how beautiful I am and how he can't live without me. And I'm just looking and I'm like, do something. You know, it's just, this isn't work. And we were just like, psh, psh, psh. And then finally we got that book and I was like, oh, okay. And so we started speaking each other's love language. It was like somebody flipped the switch in our marriage. But what happened? We started sowing. You got to sow into somebody. But I was talking to that girl, and I said, listen, just sow into him. Speak his love language. Speak it. And you know what? She goes, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. And do you know, they ended up getting a divorce. They don't go here anymore, I promise. They moved away. They ended up getting a divorce, but they later wrote me a letter about 2 years later, and they said, you know, we really wish we would have listened because we really love each other. We really loved each other. We loved each other, and we have mourned over our marriage, but now it's too late. Isn't that sad? It's sad. Listen, it happens. A lot of times, people that really do love each other still can't make it work. You got to prioritize. You got to sow. Amen. Last thing, you got to trust God. You got to trust him. Psalms 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Listen, you can try all you want to build, you know, like we were. I was trying so hard to be a good wife, you know, cooking dinner, doing the laundry, cleaning the house. My husband couldn't care less about those things. He couldn't care less. But it wasn't until we sought God that God said, you guys are speaking opposite languages. You got to come together. And we, you know, every marriage still struggles in areas, and we still do too, but it's covenant. We're in covenant. I'm not in a contract with you. I'm in a covenant with you. Amen? You know, I'm in a covenant with this church. It's not always easy to pastor you people. It's not. It's not. And there are times where it just seems like all hell is breaking loose. And it's like, what the heck, man? And then you tell somebody something 100 times and they hear it from one other person. They're like, oh, I finally got it. And you're like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Or you tell somebody something 1,000,000 times and you pray for them and still they come and they look you in the eye and they say, I know what you've told me, but I'm still leaving. Man, that'll rip your heart out. It feels like your heart's getting ripped out and the devil's just going, nanny, 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 you should have did something else. But I'm in covenant with you. So it isn't about you making me happy. It's about me giving my life to you. Because that's what God's called me to do. That's covenant. That's covenant. And so I just want to pray for all the married people in here today. Marriage is rough. Marriage is rough. And I tell you, since I've been doing this marriage series, the enemy's been fighting me. I'll tell you what. It's like everything I do is annoying. Everything Scott does is annoying. And I just keep telling myself, it's the series. It's just the enemy. It's the enemy. He always comes. As soon as you do a series on healing, you get sick. That's how it works, right? You know, start doing a thing on marriage. You're like, oh. It's because the enemy always comes to steal. We're not immune to the same problems you are, but we stay in covenant together. And so I want to pray for you if you're married in here today. Just grab your spouse's hand. If your spouse isn't here, then just by faith. And if you're single in here, I hope you have heard what I've said so that it will save you heartache in the future. Man, don't get married with blind eyes thinking everything is just, it's going to make everything better. Marriage does not make things better. It is not an answer to sin. You don't get married because you can't stop having sex. Marriage is not an answer to sin. That's Jesus' job. Marriage is a covenant that you enter into for life. And it's not a life sentence. It's a life celebration. Amen? It's a life celebration. And so let's pray. Father, I pray for every married person in here today, Lord. We know that it's hard, but Lord, we know that you're bigger. That as we seek you, as we seek the one with our two, the Lord, I just thank you that you mold us, you shape us, you bend us, you blend us to become a stronger and stronger one in you. In you. Lord, help us to be covenant-minded. Help us turn away from contract thinking. And remind us every day that we choose love, that we prioritize our marriages, that they come right under you. It's God first, then my marriage. God first, then my marriage. And Lord, help us to always seek you. When times are hard, help us to remember to seek your help, your wisdom, your guidance, your direction, your healing. And Lord, I thank you that we never give up, that we strive for covenant. I thank you for that. And you know, you can't do that without Jesus. You cannot do it without Jesus. Trying to get through this life without Jesus is just not even smart. And so if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you've never ask Jesus to come into your life. You've never opened up your life to him. Let today be the day that you say yes to Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the one who loves you like nobody else. Let today be the day that you say yes to Jesus as your Savior. So if you're here with every head bowed and every eye closed, if today's your day, you don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to know how it works. You don't have to know all the books in the Bible. You don't have to know all that. All you got to do is open up your heart and say, Jesus, I want to give you all of me, all my mistakes, all, everything, all my strengths too. I want to give you all of me. in exchange for all of you. I want to receive forgiveness for every sin. I want to receive the power to live life on this earth. And I want to know that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am foregoing hell and going to heaven to spend eternity with God the Father. I want to know that. And the only way that happens is through Jesus. Jesus isn't interested in you straightening up or being good or anything like that. It's not about that. It's about you just saying yes. Yes, Jesus, come into my life. I want to have a relationship with you. It isn't about rules. It isn't about any of that. It's just about saying, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, and I want you in my life. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. If that's you, with every head bowed, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus this morning. Anybody like that? Before I see your hand, anybody else? I want to just say yes to him. Say yes to power and love and forgiveness and a life with him and not without him. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Oh, thank you, Lord. For the sake of the one that raised their hand, let's all say this prayer together. Say, Father God, I believe Jesus is your son, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, all for me. I give my heart to him. And in exchange, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Aren't you glad God's good? Glory to God. I pray and I believe that marriages have been strengthened. Listen, you've got what it takes. And any of us who've been married any length of time will be the first to tell you, listen, there's going to be times where you don't feel like you've got what it takes. That's why you seek God, because he gives you what you need. Amen. He gives you what you need. So we're going to receive our offering. We say this all the time at BBC.